Hello, and thank you for joining me on another episode of the Tech Exec Podcast. I'm your host, Aviv Ben Yosef, and today we're going to be talking about getting buy-in for changes you're pushing for. I'm going to say exactly what I mean by that in a second, but before that, I wanted to let you all know that I'll be speaking at the Developer First Tech Leadership Conference in June. You can see a link in the show notes. I'd love to see you there. And it's all virtual, of course, because of the situation. So if you're looking to invest in being a better leader, come on. There's a bunch of great speakers other than myself, and I'd love to see you there and hear your thoughts. With that out of the way, let's talk about buy-in. As leaders, and in fact, even if you're a founder of the company, you have other stakeholders that need to be persuaded so that you can make some changes. I'm not talking about deciding how to organize the tables in your rooms. I'm talking about bigger changes, of course. This might be process changes, organizational changes, whether you want to work in cross-functional teams or not, technological changes like investing in a new tech, changing your stack, and so forth. Some of these require you to get other people's sign-off. And not just sign-off, you know that sometimes what you really require is true buy-in. You want them to be with you so that even when the going gets tough in 2 months, you're not gonna hear, "I told you not to do that." You want them to be fully on board and working with you and not pushing you to revert the whole thing and abort because something isn't perfect. This has to align with your strategy. And if you do not know what your strategy is, that's the first issue you need to solve. Because it does not make any sense to invest in any big changes without the understanding of how this aligns with your business. When I work with companies on their strategy, we always make sure to understand what are the strategic factors they need to be focusing on, and then once you have a change that relates to those factors, it makes much more sense for everyone else to understand why it has to be done or what you are trying to achieve here. Start with creating a strategy. By the way, now is a good time to refresh your strategy because there's a pandemic going on. And once you've got a strategy, make sure that your big change aligns with the strategy. Now, in order to know that, you have to define the problem. I see way too many people, even at the C-level, going around and saying, "We are going to rewrite this and that. We are going to switch to using microservices. We are going to move into squads," whatever. But these are details. You are talking about the specific operations you are about to perform, but you're not talking about the problem, its value, and how you're going to be better off once you reach the solution, right? If you want to get a buy-in from your CEO to invest in a technical rewrite, you do not come over and say, "This is the best new thing." You come over and say, "We are estimating that this will allow us to develop faster within 3 months. We will be able to hire more people more easily, more quickly, because we'll have a tech stack that is actually fun to work on. The framework we're currently using is legacy, is not supported, and will not get any more security updates, so we must move on." By this, you are defining the problem, not the technicalities of what you're going to do. And so you're helping everyone else understand why this is an important thing to work on and why the investment is needed. It also means that you will be better able to define your definition of done. If you know exactly what is the business case issue here, you can show when you've solved it or moved the needle. I've been called a bridge before. I help connect engineering and the business side, and this is a crucial part of it. You want, as a leader, to create true leverage. You want to be a force multiplier in your organization, and that means that you have to understand how to combine those two aspects of your work. So define the problem, make sure you know its business value, and then it is quite straightforward to align it with your strategy if you have everything set into place. Do not discuss the technicalities needlessly. And then the next step in order to get buy-in is to do the work. You cannot simply say, we need to do X and expect everyone to say, all right, go right ahead. You have to perform a real risk assessment so that you know what are the risks, how likely are they to happen, how bad is it if one of the risks actually happens, and putting into place the preventive measures and the contingencies so you know what you will do if a risk actually takes place. This is the mature way of pushing for change. Otherwise, your partners and the stakeholders will not have the confidence they need in order to know that you've done your homework, to know that they don't need to keep on prying inside your decisions and then going for the technicalities. This is actually a major point in reducing micromanagement you might be suffering from your own manager. It's a subject for a different episode, but in general, if you as a leader, if you are a VP of engineering, if you're a CTO and you feel like you are being micromanaged by your own boss, that's an issue that you need to solve with them. But right now, I would say that specifically for these kinds of changes, a key in order to get some progress without solving the micromanagement issue itself is to agree on having autonomy for a specific scope and not being micromanaged there. And to get that, you have to show that you know what you're doing. You have to show that you have taken into account everything that needs to be considered. Once you do that, it becomes easier for everyone else to provide you with the authority to do that. And lastly, you might need to come in prepared to make your case, not just the business value, but also showing that when it's not novel, help them see that this is something that has worked before. Have you done it at previous companies you worked at? Is this de facto the norm at other companies that are in the same state as you are on? Always remember, change is not what people are afraid of. People are afraid of the ambiguity when they are trying to get from the current state to the declared change state. If they do not have a clear path and they do not have the confidence knowing that they can get from A to B securely and quickly, then they will be afraid. That is the issue you're trying to tackle here. So it is not enough to show them the goal. You cannot simply say, we're going to be there in 2 months. In order to get buy-in, in order to get confidence, in order to reduce fear and get people to work with you on this, you have to show them that you have a path. With a clear path, the discussion changes from whether that needs to be the goal to looking at the path and thinking with you whether you need to be changing some turns. And in that way, you get partnership and buy-in. So lay down the path, show them what are they going to be seeing. Show them that others have taken that path before. Make it apparent that you know where the pitfalls are and how you're going to be leaping over them. And having the benchmark from other companies is a very easy way usually to show that the path is well lit and that there are no big unknowns going through it. A big part of my advisory with startups is helping them understand that whatever they are going through is something that others have done before. You might be working on novel tech and novel solutions, but at the meta level, so much of what we are doing has been done before, and you are not actually reinventing the wheel and shouldn't. Make good use of that. When things are not as scary as they might be, make it known. With that, you can get the buy-in you need in order to make a big change and move the needle. This is how you make yourself an engineering force multiplier in your company. And lastly, you might need to get some allies. Of course, if you can get product to say that they agree with this approach, things are going to be easier. If customer success come over and say that this change will make their lives so much better, that helps. You don't have to be a soloist. You don't have to be pushing all of these changes by yourself. On the contrary, if you can get others to commit with you and think with you about all of the previous steps we've discussed, you can have so much more leverage and you can have more ideas and your plans will be more robust. So remember that you have to align with your strategy, define the problem, get autonomy, have clear risks and contingencies laid out so you have a clear path, and make use of the fact you are not the first to be landing on the moon. I hope this quick episode will help you drive changes in your company. As always, if you want to discuss your strategy, discuss these decisions, and see whether other companies have done this, drop me an email, it's in the show notes, and let's schedule an informal chat. That's it for this week. As always, remember that I have the Change Catalyst newsletter for tech execs going out every Thursday. Sign up in the link below in the show notes. Thank you and talk to you soon.